Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
I want to talk today about biblical worldview. We're actually starting a series today on biblical worldview, and so I'm going to get into that. Today's topic is God and government. God and government. So I thank you, Father, for the power of your word, and I pray, God, that you would give us a biblical worldview and that you would help us to have a biblical worldview, and especially with government. We thank you, God, that we are those who can change the atmosphere around us. So we thank you, God, that we're not just thermometers that just, but that we're thermostats, and we get to set that. So in Jesus' name, I just pray for your blessing on your word. Amen. So as we talk about it, we had this set for like over a month, so it's really interesting with a lot of things that have happened, even with government and a lot in our world. I thought that was really interesting. There's a place that I go to that's up north about 300 miles away, and it's actually the earthquake epicenter of California. And it's interesting up there. There's so many. It's right up above Paso Robles, and there's so many earthquakes. And it's amazing that, they have a whole center there, and there's just tons of earthquakes that happen there. And there's a story, true story, this guy, he's a government guy, and he's taking geological readings, and he comes in, he's from the Department of the Interior, and he approaches this farmer, and he says, I've been authorized by the government to go into your pasture and take some readings. Do you mind that? The farmer said, yeah, I mind. You can't go in my pasture. And the government guy gets a little ticked. He's like, I'm sitting here with my black car and my suit, and you got your overalls and your plaid on. Hello, excuse me. But I'm here with more, and he breaks out his paperwork. He shuffles around. He shows him the paperwork, and he says, I have authority from the Secretary of the Interior. And he said, I can choose to go anywhere I choose to. And so he starts to climb the fence to go over this farmer's fence. And he said, I'll tell you again, you better not go out in my pasture. Guy just says, forget it. He goes out in the middle of the pasture. He starts setting up his equipment. He sets up his tripod, and the ground starts to shake. So he's getting excited, thinking, like, maybe is there a tremor happening now? Until he looks up and sees this big old bull charging right at him with his head down. And he figured out that it wasn't an earthquake. And he starts running. He leaves all his equipment. And as he's running towards the fence, he cries out to the farmer. He's like, help me, help me. And the farmer said, show him your paper. Help. About ready to run into some power. You have authority? Show him your paper. It's nice when power and authority work together. God gave Jesus all power and authority. Don't think the devil doesn't have power, but he doesn't have authority. And we walk in authority. And I want to talk about government because we're the people who put people who have power and authority in that position. God's an all-powerful God. And we're blessed to be in this nation. When God's authority is removed from a government, there's a lot of screaming, ouch, and pain, you know, just like this guy was screaming. But today I want to talk about a biblical worldview. I want to come out of Romans 12, verse 1. Romans 12, 1, it says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So what is our view? Biblical worldview. It's the way we think the world works. It's each one of us have a different biblical worldview, and they may be similar, but there's a difference. And that worldview, it shapes our thoughts and our attitudes, our actions. And because of our worldview, there's consequences, good and bad consequences. Are you with me? Parents, do you correct behavior or attitude? Attitude. If you wait till it's behavior, you missed it. When you see that attitude, you're like, you sit down, little missy, right now. You know what I mean? Because you know something's going to break out that's going to not be good. And so we need to take things at our worldview so that it'll shift our attitude and our actions. Because like I said, we are not just thermometers that walk around going, things are dark, things are dark, things are hot, things are cold. We're the thermostats to set the temperature wherever we go. The people up here think it's awesome. So, you know, like, we're the We're not thermometers, we're thermostats. Oh, wow, they're giving you trouble over here now. You know, but seriously, though, you know, we can just say, well, what difference do I make? You make a huge difference. So what were the 12 disciples supposed to say that to Jesus? What difference can 12 of us make? Were the 70, let's just take a section, were the 70 just said, what about us? No, they made a huge difference. How about the 500? Oh, well, 500 can't do much. You can change the world because God put us here to be the best quarterback that's out there in the league. He's standing there in the pocket. He has a blind side. Huh? Remember the movie Blind Side? It's nice to have someone in your blind side. Okay, but all of us have blind sides. So none of us is without a blind side. So none of us has the market on it all. Our view is totally just 100%. We're all so awesome. Everything's great. We all are learning. We all have weaknesses and we all have blind spots. So why don't we settle that and realize that we all need to be asking God for his biblical view and be open to change. Sometimes people just think my view is the only view. It's the only way. It's like, I always say this, but if you know, you're the only one you listen to. You have a fool for a counselor. So we need to listen to God and let the Word of God transform us so that we can have a biblical worldview. Now, so it affects everything. Today I want to talk about God and government. It may sound political. It's like, oh, you're going to be political in church? I don't want to be political, but I want to be governmental. Because God's governmental. God actually established the government. God's a God of government. Isn't he? How about Isaiah 9, 6 through 7? For unto us a child will be born. How many know who the child is? Does anybody know what Christmas is all about? Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Isn't that beautiful? And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And then listen to that part. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. There's no end to God's government. So government, God's government's eternal. Are you here? Bunch of different governmental structures around this world, different nations under different governmental structures. God's government will have no end. So the closer your governmental structure is to God's governmental structure, the more it'll look like heaven. Hello? And structures that are not at all, and God's out of the picture, I don't know what kind of government hell would look like, but whatever. You know, people say, well, I live for eternity. We all live for eternity somewhere. I just don't know if I'd call hell a life. But moving right along, that was free. I'm just saying, and upon the throne of David over the kingdoms, to order it, establish it with judgment and justice, from that time and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So God's government looks like something. God's government looks like peace. God's government looks like justice. Have you ever seen some governments where it's not very just? Have you ever seen where it's like some governments, there's like huge gaps where you're like, man, I would hate to live under that government. God's government's beautiful. So God and his government has no end. God and government are both eternal. And part of the problem is when you try to separate God from government, you get a mess. You get man's ways. People say, well, you can't have God in government. No, that's baloney. Our whole nation was founded on godly principles. Our whole nation was founded that under the whole thing, one nation under God, that God could be the one who helps us establish and set up the best government. Are you with me? So part of the problem is that trying to I think, the devil's always trying to get God out of everything. And so there is competing worldviews. So in context to biblical worldview, we need to understand that there is different types of worldviews. One of them is secular humanism, which is man-centered. You don't have to go to another nation. You can just walk across the street and go out onto the university and you can see humanism in action as they're trying to train our young ones and our future leaders of this world, that it all revolves around man, and it doesn't revolve around man. It's not man-centered. Relativism, just all the nuns, that is a broken system, and it doesn't make sense. There's no logical end to it. It's amazing. Socialists. And socialists, It's secular policies and the government's in the center of it. Stick this government in the center of control over you. That's not a good mix either. Yeah, socialism doesn't work. Just study it. Part of the problem is people don't even know what it means. They think socialism, that sounds good. We should all be social. It's not what it means. Isn't that where we go to have ice cream and we fellowship and we have Starbucks together? No. That's a social. That's not socialism. And then how about a world? But there's a worldview, and some people have adapted these worldviews and they live under it. And how about materialism? Things are in the center. It's all about things. Put something in the center. Hedonist, pleasure, and sex is in the center. Doesn't work. But we are Christians. Amen? Christ is in the center. So with a Christian, with a biblical worldview, God is in the center. So what's most important is what God thinks and what God's ways are beyond what I think and what my ways are. And that's what our goal is, just to have a biblical worldview and to have a biblical worldview in context even to government. You say, well, you know, I've always been told to separate God from government. Don't talk about God. If you don't put God in government, we're in trouble. So number one, government has a purpose. So we saw this in Isaiah 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. So God does have a government. And he says, and of the increase of his government and of his peace, there will be no end. So part of the purpose is that if we have a government, if we have a biblical worldview and we put people that are in government who have a biblical worldview, there will be peace in that under the people that you reign under. You put an evil person in power, there won't be peace. Are you with me? So government has a purpose. And he said of the increase of his government, there will be no end. And so every time you can see shifts and changes, that we need to understand that God, with God, there's no shift or change. There's no shifting in shadows. God is the same. So there's different applications. There's different methods people have, but the message is still the same. And you have that message. And if you're a Christian, then you need to speak Jesus into situations. There's unrest and things that go on in our community around us. There's things that cause in a bunch of different areas, but even just with governmental issues, we're the ones who bring Jesus to the table. We're the ones who bring peace. We're the ones that say, how about we love? How about another way that we forgive? How about that we get along? How about we're one nation, not a divided nation? I thought it was ridiculous. They were going to divide California into three. One of the propositions, I think it was 9, they took it off the ballot. Let's divide California into 3 different pieces. It's like, that's not going to work. I know some people are like, I would love to just like divide out certain sections of California and not be associated with it. I go to places and they're like, you're a California pastor. And I get mocked over things because they tag me into a bunch of stuff that they think that all Californians, I'm like, you know what? All Californians aren't like that. Anyway, just saying. You know, how about God, and God is powerful. You know, I want to tell you something. I had to repent because I actually, for a while, I wasn't educated enough to know. I just said, man, I'm just not going to even mess with this. But sometimes I got frustrated because I'm like, why even go vote? What's the point? We're outnumbered in California. Do you know we're not outnumbered? Do you realize if all the born-again Christians were registered to vote and voted, we'd be 38% of it, and we're the largest group in California? Do you realize if we just all mobilized the Christians and voted, we would shift California. We would shift it from saying we're the most godless. Hello, are you here? We actually have the highest percentage. We're just uneducated. I was one of those. I thought, what's the point? I'm going to do it because God tells me to do it, but we don't have a chance. Then later I thought, oh my goodness. If we all did, what a chance. We have more than a chance. Do you realize this shamed me? I was shamed. Do you realize that Muslims, 84% are registered voters? Those that profess to be Muslims, 84%. Christians, I think it's like 37. And those that make it to the polls is even lower. I might have that statistic wrong, but I knew there was a lower statistic amount. Maybe it's not quite that much, but it's ridiculous. We're not like all the Christians haven't got the message that we can change and that our vote changes things and that we get to vote God every time. And we can put our God up and magnify him and let him be glorified, or we can just say it's hopeless and we have no hope. And so we don't need to be those people. As a matter of fact, that was kind of cool that the worship shifted because it was totally different. I think I preached my worst message in my life, first service. I just like erased that from the annals of history. And there's redemption in the second service, redemption. I erased the whole message that I preached last service, and I'm preaching the second half that I didn't preach. You're getting a really good sermon compared to last service, so you should feel really blessed. But part of the service, I was saying to one of the worship leaders, God shifts things in a service. This service ended with hope, and that's what this was that tree planted by the river, and the roots go down, and there was hope, and that was what this was the artist prophetically did this prophetic painting during first service. I wish I would have caught on to that one, first service. But I got it on the second. But in the worship team, it was totally a different atmosphere, but you always have to roll with what God's doing. But I just want to tell you, our God's a God of hope. And we need to be the people who are shifting, and to be a thermostat, we say yes and amen. We need to be registered voters. That's why we put registration things out there. So if you've been saying it's hopeless, I'm not going to register to vote, you need to register to vote because your vote counts and it means something. And the second step is that we need to vote God. And I say this all the time, don't vote, you know, the elephants and donkeys. You vote lion, vote your values. No, vote with a biblical perspective. So you need to do your education to figure out which ones to vote for. And on the ballot, sometimes there's two people from the same party. So if you're in one, if you're in that party, then you may understand it. If you're not in that party, you'd be like, I'm not even voting that party, period. But, and people say, well, you should vote the lesser of two evils. You're like, no, I don't want to vote the lesser of two evils. I'm not voting for either of them. I don't like either of them. One of them probably loves God's people more than the other person. Unless Jesus is up there, we all are the lesser of two evils. I didn't know Jesus was running. I was joking up in the office, and someone said, that was awesome. And I said, do you think that if he won and we did a write-in for him for mayor of San Marcos, that basically then his second coming would come because he'd show up? I'm just messing with you. I'm messing with you. This is not what I believe. I'm just messing with you. I'm joking. But the point is that I don't know what the point is. I lost it. So I have no clue what the point was or where I was going. I need to go back to something here. So number one, government has a purpose. So we need to understand that. And number two, government without God, it's hopeless. Government without God, it's dangerous and scary. Romans 13, 1-5, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. There is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So some people say, well, yeah, that's right. So whatever government's in, then God did it, and then we submit to it. In Daniel's day, there was a government structure that was set up. Did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, did they yield to the governmental structure when they said that you need to bow to the statue? No. I think they said, my God, I won't bow to a statue because my God's government is more important in the way God sees me, and they refused to bow, right? So if your government told you to do something and they said, I want you to kill your sibling, you'd be like, I am not killing my sibling. Hello? Are you here? But like, it's so God, there is, we're accountable to God, aren't we? And to a biblical standard and biblical values. So what's the point then? We just say, well, we're just going to submit to whatever's there, whatever happens, happens. No, let's put good people in authority so that we're not challenged with those things. Because some people in other nations are really challenged with the governmental structure that they're underneath. Are you here? So we have an obligation because our nation was founded as one nation under God to keep God in the government. Just saying. So we need to understand that. I think the early founders and the fathers, they totally understood this. And we say, well, I don't know what they were thinking. They wrote a lot of those things that they were thinking. John Adams, our second president of the United States, said this. He said, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. They wrote the whole thing. We're endowed with these rights that I heard different people that really don't believe the way I believe in governmental offices, and they skipped the whole part about our Creator because of this political correctness not to offend another person. Our founding fathers understood it was the God of the Bible, the Creator of heaven and earth. And that's what they wrote, and that's what it was for, and that's what it was to. And even the second president, he was saying, it doesn't work that way for somebody who doesn't believe in our God. Jim Garlow is a great man of God, pastor. I was pastoring down in San Diego, and he said this. He said, I don't believe that the real separation in America is right versus left, but rather right versus wrong. That's not an attack on a party or on a way of thinking. It's biblical. What he's saying is the real issue is, do you have a biblical worldview of government? And if not, how do we get one? And if we're trying, how about do we get better? And what do we need to do to be better at it and to be better educated? Because there's tools. There's people that they study all of these different politicians. They ask them questions. Then they take and they give you the surveys. And they're right there online. You can just take a little card that's out on the table, go online for yourself, look at the people who've studied the people and who've looked, and then you learn what they believe. Because it's really tricky when you see a pamphlet that's designed by somebody who has a motive when they design it. Some of the propositions, you read them and you think, oh, well, I believe in this, and they have nothing to do with what they say in their thing. If you really read it, it's like it has nothing to do with the description, because everybody's like, says something about veterans. I love veterans. It's like it has nothing to do with this. It's not going to veterans at all. You know, something about coming home. It's like, I love coming home. It's like, has nothing to do with that either. They're trying to get you to get a warm, feely, fuzzy feeling to vote for something that is really ridiculous. It's not good for us. And so you need it. So if you say, well, I don't have time to do all that. I've been there where I'm exasperated. I'm working hard. And then I look and I think, man, it would take me a week to study all these candidates. How am I supposed to do this? There's help out there. So get help. Get people who've studied it and look, and get people, other people that evaluated it. The one tool we put on the table is we put a card from Salt and Light. You can go on Salt and Light's website, and they have, if you look up election, we always put one out that's the family values, because God's all about family, and I want to know what is the best for families in a biblical worldview, and how those people look at families, and how some key issues that what Christians would be concerned at. And we give you that so you know where these people stand on these things. But you can do that, and it's not that hard. And so you just have to just take a step up there and get after it. When our Constitution was established, it was drafted. It's been 230 years since then. And God said it, and he set it in place. He set it in motion, and it's good. And it does work if we work it. Thomas Jefferson said this, I've always said and always will say that the studious pursual of the sacred volume, talking about the Bible, will make us better citizens. People point out Thomas Jefferson wasn't even a Christian. Yeah, but he went to church all the time, and he listened to pastors preach. And he wasn't a professing Christian, but he also said that if you want to study the Bible. So even people in government that weren't exactly Christians the way you believe understood the principles, and they recognize it. Our founders, they birthed our nation, and that was the birth of our nation, was that Declaration of Independence. It's a birth certificate of it. And he talked about us, that we have these rights, but it's because they were endowed by our Creator. So we can't take God out of the picture, or we miss it all up, because God is recognized as a Creator. He's the one who empowered mankind. John Adams said it this way, and I told you when he said it was made for a moral and religious people. Our government was founded with a design for our government to function based in belief in God. So if you want to go to original design, how does something work? Like I joke with you and say, I have a hammer wrench because I use a wrench as a hammer and beat something trying to get it to work. But the hammer works better than the wrench. And our government works better when God's there, because it's not designed to work without God in it. So we need to put godly people in positions. We need to put people that understand that and understand that it's in God. Because if you have a humanistic, if you have a different worldview, you can believe man's in the center and then you only answer to man. Or God's in the center and you answer to God. Now you have a different thing when you're making your decisions. It was sad, one of the justices, when you look at the Supreme Court justice in 1907, Charles Evan Hughes, he said this. He said, "We are under a constitution, but the constitution is what the judges say it is." Whoops. You're going to answer that one to God. You take God out of the government, we have what men say it is. So, but with God, it makes sense. And you're not sitting in church because you're arguing with me. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but I think we all need to get it together to realize that none of us has it all together. There's different political parties in this room. There's some that don't want anything to do with any political party. And I know I've been there where I just said, I'm even done with my own party. You know, times in the back where I was like just really disappointed by those that were representing my beliefs. And I get that. I get that, that there's times when you're disappointed with your representatives, but none of them is Jesus. And they all have blind spots and they all have problems. And sometimes you find there's motives and disappointments. I get that. But I'm not going to give up on God just because man messes things up. So what can we do? I want to land this plane. Three things we can do. One is we can pray. Timothy tells us, "Therefore I exhort first all supplication, prayers, and intercession, and giving thanks be made for all men, kings, and all who are in authority." Pray. Pray for godly people to be put into office. Pray that godly people, you know, like we were telling you, Craig's, he's not sitting here. He usually sits right there in the third row. Craig, first service, was saying, "Hey, I'm just," he's a giver. He's given to missions, given to this. They own Old California Coffee Shop. He's doing all this. He's just saying, "Hey, I just could use some help. So if I had some boots on the ground to help me go out." He says, "The hardest thing for me to do is ask for help." And it's like, so we can pray, but we can also put boots to the ground and help put somebody who's godly in office. So one, we need to pray, but then we need to turn our prayers into some action. Number two, the second thing, what can we do is speak up. Acts 4, they told him, just don't you speak about God. And the world's been telling us, don't speak about God and politics. No, in verse 20, he said, we cannot help but speak the things that we've seen and heard. We cannot help but tell people, and we should be those telling people, that even if you don't believe in God, God works in government, and it's worked for this government for 230 years. Italy's had like 50 different governments. We're still in the same, you know, they had to change structure. If God's not in it, throw that one out, throw that one out, throw that one out. Try God. He works. But we need to speak up. Andy Stanley said this. He said, erase God from the national conversation and you eliminate our ability to be grateful to anyone but ourselves. Eliminate God from politics and national leadership, we're accountable to nobody but us. Dismiss God from the equation and we detach our conscience from politics. We must be a nation of conscience led by those who understand that they are accountable not only to American people but to their Creator. And that's where we need to be. We need to speak from love and not from a high horse. We love people who have the complete opposite persuasion of you. Love them, but talk to them in love. Diffuse that. Matthew Henry said this. He said, beware of making judgments to serve our own passions and revenge. I wish you could take and say this to two different parties, three different parties that are passionately against each other. I wish they'd catch this wisdom from Matt here. We wrong God when we press his providence to patronize our foolish and unjust resentments. The wrath of man works not to the righteousness of God, and the righteousness of God serves not the wrath of man. In other words, just shelf all of our opinions and love people, but we do need to communicate. Another one is to vote. That's the third one. What can we do? Micah 6:8 tells us, he's shown us, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly before your God. We have to do what's just. And if we vote in people that have a biblical worldview, they will be just to our society and to our children. It's negligent for us to ignore the polls, to ignore voting because of our own ignorance or our own unbelief or our own frustrations. And not take up the responsibility as Christians to follow through and to make sure that we, to the best of our ability, we try to vote for people that would stand for God. That we authorized people that are in power. And a silence sometimes is, it authorizes people that misuse power. And then we complain. We can't complain under that. And that's really what I want to do, is just to say, remember, we all have blind spots. We all have weaknesses. Just do our best to represent God, but get a biblical worldview. And really, seriously, take people who are experts. I have mentors on marriage. I have mentors on leadership. I have mentors on revival. I have mentors on reformation. I have mentors on all different things that I need in my life. And I know that if I'm too heavy on one vein, I'm like, I need to go here. You know, I'm going to preach at a French church. Then we're going to a leadership, to one of my leadership mentors that I just love. You know, it's just a one-day conference, but it's like I get so much because I need that because I'm a leader. And then I have another mentor, and I get, you know, this from him, and this one is a Greek scholar. I love him. I get blessed. You need different mentors. But if we're not being mentored by those who are like experts, I used to train martial arts, so it's like we need a black belt in government. We need to find somebody who's an expert, the professor, the one who's studied and done all the homework. Don't reinvent the wheel. Just take and look at what all the, and so what I was saying is, there's a website. You can look at 10, more than 10, 20 different guides of all these people have studied, and then figure it out for yourself, because nobody should tell you what to do. You should have an educated vote. You do what God tells you, but you should educate yourself to say, am I voting God, or am I voting some other thing, my feeling, my friends, my parents' view, my whatever? No, vote God. And make sure that Lion is on there. I wish they had it. I wish they just said, you know, what party are you from? And you're just like, I'm from Lion. Anyway, would you stand with me today? I hope you got something good out of that.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.